Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
How many of you guys believe that God has a specific plan for your life? Like, really believe that God's got something really in store, like He has set up something for you? Because if you don't believe it, I'm here to tell you that that is the truth. It's in the Bible, so we've got to believe it. God has a specific plan for your life. Amen? God has a specific plan and a purpose for your life. But sometimes it is difficult to know exactly what that plan may be. How many of you guys have ever struggled with what that plan looks like? How that plan works out? Because I can look around my life from time to time, and this don't look like a plan that God would set up for me. Surely, God, you would have made something better, right? Surely there would have been a better idea or a better plan than what I'm living in right now. There's got to be more. There's got to be better. This can't be it, right? There are times where we really struggle with what that plan looks like. But we believe that God has a hope and a future for us. Jeremiah 29:11. We always talk about that. Some of y'all may even have a plaque in your house that says this, or a picture in your house that says, "For I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Every time I see this scripture, my wife, most of you guys know this, my wife works at the Door of Hope here in town. And so every time I see this scripture, I think about the pro-life movement. How many of you guys remember the March for Life that was this past January in Washington? Big, big political event. And if you've ever seen anything about the pro-life folks, somebody somewhere will have this on a sign. Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the thoughts I have towards you, good and not evil, have you hope in a future," blah, blah, blah. They'll have this every time. So every time I see this scripture, I always think about pro-life. And I you know, have y'all seen the news lately? Man, this thing about Roe v. Wade coming back into the national focus from New York and Virginia. And it's just crazy. It's crazy the times that we're living in. And I will say this, a caveat. You know, make sure that you read between the lines, because whatever news media you are following is only telling you what they want you to know. They are not telling you anything else. So make sure you follow along with what's going on. But I will say that this debate has been kind of thrust back into the national focus and beginning to get national attention and detail again. And it's just another thing in our polarization of America that we're all living in right now. It is red or blue. It is pro-life. It is pro-choice. It is this. It is that. And there, you must pick a side. Everybody is declaring, you got to pick a side. You can't just be on the fence. You got to pick a side. Whew. I don't know about y'all, but it's frustrating and it's overwhelming. And sometimes the battle rages on between good and evil and between God's word and secular humanism and everything in between. And it feels like sometimes that battle is constantly raging, like that there is in the atmosphere this constant struggle and wrestle and fight. And it's, man, sometimes it can be overwhelming. And I'm trying in the middle of all that to figure out what's God's purpose and plan for little old me in Madisonville, Kentucky. And it's just sometimes overwhelming. Anybody else with me on any of that? Listen, I believe, and we believe at Covenant Community Church, talk about this pro-life thing real quick, because I do think that it is valuable, and we need to say this. As a church, we believe that everybody is a candidate for Jeremiah 29:11. Everybody, no matter what stage they are, in or out of the womb, everybody is a candidate for Jeremiah 29:11. We believe that. Amen? Amen. Let me say this too. Let me say this too, because I think that this is also equally important. We're dealing with something this heavy. For those of you all that have ever had to make that terrible decision, we want you to know that we love you and we are with you. And you are not the enemy. Your decision is not the enemy. And that does not have to define you. And we are here to help you, to stand with you, to be with you, to pray with you, and to just hang with you. We're just with you, okay? So just know that we don't come with condemnation, because there is therefore now no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. And there's none of us among us that have not sinned. And so we all put our stones down, right? We all must remember this: in spite of the struggle, in spite of the trial, in spite of the circumstance, what Ephesians chapter 6 says. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms." We do not wrestle against Democrats and Republicans. We do not wrestle with pro-choice and pro-life. We do not wrestle against ideology in that sense. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. But thanks be to God, we've been given a power to overcome. We've been made more than a conqueror. We've been made more than conquerors by Him who loved us. Amen? Anybody conquerors in this room today? The battle seems long, it seems tough, it can seem almost desperate at times, and at times it can even feel like that the battle to discover your destiny or your purpose in God can even be a futile experiment. It feels like that there's just no way out. It feels like I'm in a dead-end job, and I'm just still at the very end of the dead-end job, and it's just over the same thing. I can't find purpose, can't find meaning, can't find anything. I'm bored, I'm mad, I'm frustrated, I'm disappointed, I'm broke, busted, and disgusted. Some of y'all don't even know what that was, but Moses knows. Broke, busted, and disgusted. Little E40, they don't know about that. All right, so, right? Yeah, Andre knows what I'm talking about. It's tough. And despite what we go through, it is sometimes very difficult to navigate those waters, because I know, again, I know that God has a plan for my life. And I know for sure, because His Word says that He has a purpose for me and He has plans for me. What Jeremiah 29:11 says, I believe it. I know it's the truth. But sometimes I don't act like that's true. So, here we are. Let's make the most of this, shall we? If we drive this thing into a ditch, just know our fearless leader will be back next week. Right? Okay, so just hang with me. What does this future look like? What does this future look like? Pastor Michael has been teaching us, or kind of taking us through, the teachings of Jesus over the last several weeks. We're going to continue in that vein today, and I want you guys, if you would, to turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And we're going to read a lot of scripture today, simply because the Bible is a much better preacher than Jeremy Hargis is. John chapter 14. When you got it, say, I got it. That's enough. That's enough, so we'll go forward. All right, John 14:1 says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." Verse 5, Thomas speaks up like we would, exactly like we would most of the time. Thomas speaks up and goes, remember, doubting Thomas. This is Thomas. He speaks up and goes, Lord, we don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Not only do we not know where you're going, we don't even know how we're going to get to the place we don't know where we're going. That's me. Yes, I'm right there. I'm right in the Bible. That is me. That is exactly what I would say right there. I don't know where you're going, and I don't know how to get there. But Jesus answers in verse 6, and he says to him, "I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Let's pray. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We exalt you today. Lead us through the pathways of your word. Help us, God, to illuminate what it is that you're saying and help everything else fall into the background and be forgotten. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The highlight of today, what we want to talk about, is really found in verse 2 and verse 3. I want to read those again. It says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare," watch this, "I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." This place that God has prepared for us, or that he is preparing for us, is specifically designed for each one of us. Now, what is this place and what does it look like? So let's unpack this message a little bit. Let's start with verse 1, and then we're going to hit a few rabbit trails along the way, and we'll try to land where everybody is safe. Verse 1 says, "Do not let your heart be troubled." Man, that sounds easy. It's almost as if Jesus is just like, "Hey, don't let your heart be troubled." Well, got it. Whew. Close the book. Done. Thankful. Man, that was simple. That was easy. Anybody else realize that ain't easy? But Jesus gives us a clue about how to not let our heart be troubled. He says, "Believe in God, also believe in me." Verse 2 says, "In my Father's house are many dwellings." In my Father's house are many dwellings. And maybe another translation says, "In my Father's house are many rooms." Another translation says, "In my Father's house are many mansions." It all kind of means the same thing. If you kind of study it out in the Greek, it all is relatively the same. Although a mansion and a room are two totally different things in my mind. How many of you guys have ever seen the Biltmore Estate? Y'all ever been to Biltmore? I think it's in Asheville, North Carolina. Jake, did you turn that off? I was using that for effect. This is the Biltmore in North Carolina. This is a house. For those of y'all that don't know what this is the Biltmore Estate. And this was built back in the 1800s. And it's a small little getup that they don't want to be gaudy. But this sits on about 8,000 acres. The estate is about 8,000 acres. Now that is much smaller because they sold off more than 100,000 acres to the U.S. government. So now they're just left with a measly 8,000 acres. This house, the finished house, contains over 4 acres of floor space, including 35 bedrooms, 43 bathrooms, but they really skimped on the fireplaces. They only have 65. Look at the woodwork on that thing. Isn't that beautiful? It's just beautiful. I've been by it, but I've never actually been to it. I want to go there one of these days. That is one of the ballrooms. One of the ballrooms. That is another of the ballrooms, because you can't just have one. Right? I mean, if you're going to do a house like the Biltmore, you can't just have one ballroom. This house has 178,926 square feet. Say that again. How many square feet is in the Biltmore? 178,926. Now, the living space is not quite that. It's only 135,000 square feet. 135,000 square feet. Now, this is not like, I know where you think already, I already know where you think I'm going with this message, and that's not it. It's not it. Look at somebody, it's not it. This is not a comparison on heaven, right? This is not like that Jesus has prepared this great place in heaven, which he has. And let me also, see, you pulled me into a rabbit trail. See, what had happened was, right? So, if this can be constructed in the mind of a mere man, if this comes from the imagination of a man like you and like me, just like a normal, well, not a normal, like it's normal. I mean, very creative. But a mere man was able to create this and construct this 135,000 square feet of living space, and this all came from the mind of a man, then what must that mansion over there look like? My God. You know, they say that when you walk into that city, the gates themselves are made of pearl, and the streets are gold. Pretty incredible, huh? Jesus says, if I go away, I will prepare a place for you. And if I go away to prepare a place, I will come to you again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I will say this, if it's in the Biltmore or if it's in a shack out back of this old Kroger building, if Jesus is in there, I'll go. I'll go. Every single room in the Biltmore estate, there are 250 rooms in that house. 250 rooms in the house. Every single one has a purpose. That's the difference between like the really rich people and all of us. Like, we have a multi-purpose room in our house. So we eat there, we watch TV there, we play cards there, we hang out there, we do all that. Well, the Biltmore people, they have a card room. And then, well, let's go play billiards. And then they go to the next room and they play pool. Ha, this is lovely and dashing. Let's go to the hors d'oeuvre room. And so they go to the other room. And so every single room has a specifically designed purpose. There's a music room in there. There's libraries in there. There's certain ballrooms for certain things. There are breakfast rooms. There's even a breakfast room for the people that work there so that the people who live there don't have to eat with the people who work there. I mean, my goodness, every single room has a specific purpose. If Jesus is saying, in my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you, then he must have something very specific in mind for each one of us. For I know the plans I have for you, plans of good and not evil, plans to give you a hope and a future. I believe Jeremiah 29:11 is true. If every room has a place, every room has a purpose, every place has a purpose, and Jesus has prepared a place for us, then let's look at what the word place means in the Greek, because I know that's really what you were after. Yeah, that sounds good, but let's talk about it in the Greek. I know I can read your mind. The word place actually has three meanings. The first meaning is opportunity. For those of y'all taking notes, this would be a good time to write that down. The first meaning of the word place is opportunity. The second meaning is power, almost like power and authority. And the third meaning is an occasion for acting. An occasion for acting. Meaning that enclosed within that particular geography is an occasion for acting, meaning that every room has its specific purpose. So an occasion for acting would also mean purpose. So the word place here, when Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, means three different things. Number one, it means opportunity. Number two, it means a place of power. And number three, it means a place of purpose. Jesus goes to make a place for us, a place of opportunity, a place of power, and a place of purpose. Let's talk about these three things for a few minutes, and then we'll get out of here. Opportunity, number one. We see this in Matthew 19, verse 26, where Jesus says, "With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." That is what you call opportunity. Romans 8 and 37 says, "In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." That is an opportunity. Romans 8 and 28 says, "We know that all things work together for the good for those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. For those he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he glorified them too. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" That is opportunity. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to the confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tested in every way as we are, yet without sin." Verse 16 says this, "Therefore, let us approach the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us at the proper time." That, my friends, is an opportunity. When you get in the presence of a king, your opportunity, there is so much potential. It's limitless, the opportunity that you have. When you have the ear of a king, and when you have the ear of the king, how much more and how much greater an opportunity do we have? We have been given a place of opportunity because simply we have been given access to the very throne of God. We didn't earn it. We didn't do anything for it. All we did is accept it and believe it. And Jesus Christ himself gives us access. "They're with me, Father." And we just walk straight up to the throne of grace and we just tell God about all our troubles. He'll answer by and by, hear by, whatever that old song is, tell him all about your troubles. He will hear you. If we have access to God, we can petition the Lord, we can pray to the Lord, and God hears us and he answers us. And the fact that God of the God of the universe, the God of all creation, would actually take the time and listen to us intently still blows my mind. What an opportunity that Jesus Christ has given us when he went away to prepare a place for us, a place of opportunity. Number two, Matthew 18, verse 18 through 20 says, "Then Jesus came near and said to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Luke 10 and 19 says, "Look, I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will ever harm you." Ephesians 3 and 20 says, "Now unto him who is able to do above and beyond all that we can ever ask or think according to the power that works in us." Somebody say power. God has given us a place of power. We have victory over the darkness, not because of us, but because of him. He has given us a place of power. Number three, purpose. 1 Peter 3:15. I remember this is a good time to interject this. Pastor Michael always says this, "You cannot obey what you do not." 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But honor the Messiah as the Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you." You cannot obey what you do not know. We have an occasion for acting. We have a purpose. God has given us a place of purpose. He's given us a reason for acting, an occasion for acting, a place of purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time so that we should walk in them." Matthew 9:37-38 said, "Then he says to his disciples, 'The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest.'" God did not give us a position of opportunity, of power, and of purpose to simply sit on our laurels and feel good about our internal being, our internal well-being. God gave us this place almost as a home base to live outwardly from towards those that are on our left and on our right in this room and, yes, surprise, out there. God gives us the message of the good news so that we would share it with every single person we know. It's a tall task, but he expects us to do it. And that may sound like a really tough thing, and it would be, except he stacked the deck in our favor. Not only did Jesus go away to prepare a place for us, but he also sent his Spirit to us. So we can say this, that Jesus is over here in our future somewhere. And it's not like we don't have any earthly idea where he's at, although it feels like that from time to time. But also he has deposited on the inside of every believer the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us towards himself. So why are you stressed out all the time? Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus is saying, I got a place for you. Just in case you do what you normally do and veer off course from time to time, I'm going to give you a portion of me that will lead you towards me. So therefore, if the path is really straight and we're moving down the interstate of life and we're just going from point A to point B, or we seem to go down every twist and every turn, and we're not sure that there's an edge over there, I don't know, this way, we're still, for those that believe and for those that continually walk in their faith in God and put their trust and hope in him, he is leading us towards the future that he has for us. He has prepared a place for us, a place of opportunity, a place of power, and a place of purpose. Simple. So we go back to verse 1 where it says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Well, that's it. Sounds good. And it is good, except it's still not easy. Still not easy. And after all of this, when Jesus was talking about to his disciples through all of this, he knew their response and probably understood the response of us 2,000 some odd years later. We go, yeah, God, that was good for them. They were there with you. But it's different now, Lord. Have you ever just thought about how silly we sound to God when we're making our own excuses? Have you ever just stopped and think of, I mean, if you do, it's quite comical. It's almost like when my kids are, you know, get caught doing something. And Annie she's the worst about it. Annie, you get, hey, why are you doing this? It was him. You know, she's the one screaming and yelling, and she's the one doing it. Just, hey, why are you? It was Lincoln. Lincoln did this, or Tyson did this, or that, and it was no, honey, I'm talking to you. Why are you the way that you are? And the moment those kind of words come out of my mouth, it's almost like God shows this mirror. Because I'm your dad. That's why you are the way you are. Maybe right now would be a good time to intercede for them, for their future. Sabrina, if you would, you guys can come on up. Be a good time to maybe intercede for their future. It's funny sometimes the excuses we like to give God about why we can't or why we won't. But the reality is that God has stacked the deck in our favor. He has given us the portion of His Spirit required to make it to the finish line that He has destined for us. We can choose to believe that. We can choose to willfully, cognitively understand that, come to the point where that is in the forefront of our mind, or we can do what we often do so many times, and we allow our circumstances to dictate our attitude. We let our circumstances dictate what we think, how our hope begins to fall, and it didn't turn out the way that we thought, so I just don't know about this Jesus stuff anymore. I mean, how many times have we been there? We go, well, I didn't quite get to the room. I was expecting a pool table when I got to the room that God had for me. There's no pool table in there, and I just don't know that I can really trust Him enough. All the while, we're looking around in a music room, or we're looking around in a library, or it's just not exactly what we expected, but I'm here to tell you that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. It is specifically designed for you, and even though you may not even see the totality of it today, you may just be on your way from one room to another room, from one job to another job, from one situation to another situation. Whatever that circumstance might be, you might be headed towards another circumstance. But I'm here to tell you, if you continue to put your faith, your hope, and your trust in Him, He loves you and He will not allow you to fail. If you guys would, let's stand on our feet together. I want to highlight again John 14, verse 3. You guys can take a breath and kind of stretch out a little bit. Y'all were doing it anyway. John 14, 3. This is really the highlight of what we were doing today. It says, if I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. That word there, receive. When Jesus says, I'll come back and receive you, what it literally means is that He will not reject you. It means that He will take you to Himself, lock arms with you, and move forward together with you. It means He is with you. Wherever you may be this morning, wherever your heart may have taken you up to this point, things can change, and it starts right here, right now. Every head bowed and every eye closed, if you don't mind. I want you to begin to ask yourself the question, where am I? Am I in the place that God has for me? Am I living in the potential that God has for me today? Or am I just existing? Am I just going through the motions? But today we're going to approach the Lord, and He's not going to reject us. It's not just a good idea, it is a promise in the Word of God that when we come boldly to the throne of grace, He's not going to reject us. He's going to take us in His arms and take us and accept us and bring us to Himself. He's going to join together with us. So maybe the question can be flipped today. I know sometimes we ask, have you received the Lord in your heart? But I want you to, let's flip that around. Have you let the Lord receive you this morning? Have you let God receive you? He wants to receive you today. Have you let Him receive you? If that's you in this room, on the count of three in a second, I want to just lift up your hand. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm not going to embarrass you. We're just going to pray together, and that's it. but as a sign, as an acknowledgement that says, you know what? I need to make things right with God. I'm not in the right place right now, and I don't even know what that place is. I don't even know what the next place is supposed to look like, but here is not the here that He has for me. I need to do some things different today. If that's you, on the count of three, lift up your hands. One, two, three. Hands everywhere. All kinds of hands up, because you know that God's got something better for you. Let's pray. Father, you see those with their hands up today, and you see everything, God. So Lord, this morning I just pray that the peace that passes all understanding would touch those that are here. God, let them make this commitment and move forward with their lives and realize that you have a great place for them. Place of opportunity, of power, and of purpose. So God, we commit our lives to you. We commit our minds to you. We commit our hearts to you today. And we ask, God, that you would receive us unto yourself, that where you are, we may be. In Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 6, He is the way, the truth, and the life. But He leaves His disciples with this lasting deal, this lasting thought. And it's it's 14, but it's verse 27. And it's really where I want to leave us today as we walk out of these doors. I do want to say this before I finish this up. If you have never prayed a prayer like that before, and you would like for us to keep on praying for you throughout this week, there's actually a card in front of you on your chair. Take that card out and fill it out. And then see one of these folks around the back, one of our ushers, or Pastor Andrew. Hand them that card. We want to pray with you through this week, all right? Let's go with this. John 14, verse 27. Whatever room you find yourself in today, Jesus says this, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled." Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. How many is glad that He doesn't give like the world gives? Amen. So don't let your heart be troubled. I really believe that God is saying that today. Don't let your heart be troubled. Everybody, let's lift our hands and let's bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you the glory and we give you the honor, and I bless them in the name of the Lord. I bless them, God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit would lead us out into the harvest field. Give us boldness. Give us opportunity. Let us walk in your power. And let us walk in your purposes. Because you're good. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.